This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, electrical engineering research takes place at Arkansas State University, and it features some things that you might think would come out of science fiction movies. Starting the interview is Professor of Engineering, Dr. Brandon Kemp. Tell us about the research and what you all have been working on with your students who are here, as well as Cheyenne Shepherd, also another faculty member at Arkansas State. And tell us what we all have been working on together, please.
Yes, we do theory and modeling primarily related to electricity and magnetism or electromagnetic fields, which includes everything from static electricity and magnetic fields to optics or light. And what we want to do is we want to understand how light can exert forces and give energy to materials and develop applications for that. Things like trapping particles in three dimensions called an optical tweezer, or binding particles together into an optical miter, matter, designing a microscopic optical tractor beam, even going as far as looking at how you might bend light around objects to make an invisibility cloak. And so we try to develop these applications, some of which may be 10 to 40 years into the future, but we just ask the question, is it possible? And if so, how would you do it? And that comes into us having to develop not only models to understand how we do that those things, but sometimes we have to dive pretty deep into theory as well, into basic physics and mathematics.
Right. And so how long have you been working on this?
So this project actually came out of my PhD dissertation. So it's been about 15 years since I started working on it. And it was a group that came to us at MIT when I was a student asking if we could model the formation of optical matter, which is a lot of very small microscopic particles which form kind of a lattice-like matter structure when you shine light on it. And we started working on it, and we soon realized that there was a lot of potential in here, not just in developing applications, but also in understanding the theory, because there's some debate on what the forces actually are in matter that light might exert on a matter and what the momentum of light is. And so that developed even after my dissertation into a more formal project. We got funding originally here at A-State through A-State's first ever NSF Career Award. So we were funded by the Career Award for 5 years, and now we're working on a statewide grant through the NSF as part of the Center for Advanced Surface Engineering. And so we're one group that works within that center across the state.
Fantastic. Cheyenne, let me get your position at Arkansas State, if you don't mind, please. This is Cheyenne Shepherd.
Yes, I am Cheyenne Shepherd. I'm an instructor of electrical engineering.
Okay, and so you started this project, I guess you started working on this as a master's or graduate student, is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I was working on specifically modeling, as Dr. Kemp was mentioning, modeling the material aspect of how we separate out fields and materials to understand energy and momentum within a material.
Okay, and so what has been your part in this research as you've been going along?
So I would say my part is to be more of the background scientist, to develop these models and theories for applications for the additional students. So we've been going through to develop and picking apart different literature articles to disprove or show where other people have been inconsistent with some of their original ideas.
So when you talk about, you know, tractor beams, you talk about some of the stuff we were kind of talking off air. It sounds a little bit like Star Wars and stuff like that. But is it kind of, you know, is that kind of your base for how you would, you know, start something like this?
It is. So usually it comes out of, I might see a Star Wars film or read a science fiction book and wonder, well, could I make a tractor beam, even if only at the nanoscale? Could I make an invisibility cloak, even if it wasn't perfect? And so we start thinking of ideas like that, and, you know, or could I design a material that is held together by light, or a material that's held together by electrostatic fields? And that usually leads us into not just trying to develop models for these systems, but as Cheyenne Shepherd said, we have to get into some of the physics of this stuff. And interestingly enough, how Cheyenne got started on this as a master's student, he was actually working on a master's degree in mathematics, and his thesis was really applied math, and he ended up, as part of his master's thesis, disproving the Albert Einstein's formulation of electrodynamics and published a couple of papers as part of his master's degree on that, which is a really big deal, particularly, you know, for a master's student.
Wow. Let's talk about that a little bit. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. So the idea behind that is actually understanding how materials have in part both energy and momentum to a field and how they entangle into the actual electric and magnetic fields in Maxwell's equations, all of which have to abide by a very simple fundamental set of rules, which is conservation of energy and conservation of momentum. And what we did is we went through to show that in a moving frame of reference, which Albert Einstein is famous for, that his formulation of electrodynamics was in fact inconsistent with basic fundamental principles such as conservation of energy and momentum. So that's how we ended up disproving Einstein's formulation.
All right, fantastic. So when you talk about applications for this, how could this be used in a kind of like in a real life example for what is it you're trying to do and what you all are doing here at Arkansas State, Dr. Kemp?
Okay, well, our current project that we're working on, we're working on tunable materials. It's funded by the National Science Foundation to establish a statewide center for advanced surface engineering, and we're working with 9 other institutions of higher learning here in the state, researchers, graduate students, and undergraduate students around the state. And so our part of that is in these tunable materials. So, for example, we're working on the potential of having a bunch of very small particles in a solution. We call it a colloidal system, but just think of nano-sized particles or micro-sized particles that are floating around in a solution like water and oil or something. And our idea is that if these things are charged, they will form a what's called a mesomaterial. So it has a lattice structure like you study in chemistry in high school that gives it its optical and electronic properties, but this is at a much larger scale. So it's going to interfere with different forms of light and stuff. And so we're studying right now that if we apply, for example, electric field to it, can we change that lattice? Can we change that shape or that spacing, which in turn would change its properties? So what would you do with that? Well, you might create an optical filter. You might create a tunable device that bends light in a certain way that maybe it makes it look invisible in one case, or maybe you just want to change the color of something. Maybe you want to have a device that looks like a display but has a very natural color that comes from what's called photonic properties or the regular ordering of the crystal. That's how like a peacock gets its very vibrant colors.
Very good. You're listening to the Created State Podcast here on KASU. Let's talk to some of the students. I know the students have been working very hard on this particular project. Let's start with Chris Jones first. And Chris, thank you so much for coming up to the studios. Kind of tell me about your part of the research. What is it that you've been working on, please?
Yes, sir. So what I'm working on, basically, it started off as we observed a particular article from Nature Photonics where light had actually induced a reverse ejection of electrons causing forward motion or causing forward momentum in a particular object. Namely, it was graphene due to its material properties. So from there, prior research that had been done was done using Mie theory. It's an exact method for scattering to determine how the forces react. And so what I'm trying to do is use Rayleigh theory, which is an approximate method, in order to reduce the computation time that it would take to actually calculate these forces.
Right. So, and so tell us about how that's been going and what your takeaway has been from this.
So I did prior research that dealt with a lot more application, and this research delved into the theory, to the theoretical aspects. And going through those, I've learned quite a bit just in terms of electromagnetics from Dr. Kemp and from Cheyenne Shepherd. And, it's been one of those things where I'm extremely grateful to have that opportunity. I wouldn't have gotten this knowledge without their guidance. And so my takeaway as of right now is I'm still learning is sure. Where it goes. So I'm always going to be learning. And so I feel like there's one of those things where it just lets me know there's so much more to learn, you know. So
right. Well, that's what it's all about, though. Before we continue on with other students, why is the theory in this important, Dr. Kemp? Why is it important to know the theories about all of these things?
So it is important to know the theories because if we're going to develop future applications, then we have to be able to model things. We can't always back our way into experimental results to just find stuff out. ultimately you do want to do experiment, but you know, my time in industry, I learned that you can't back your way into solutions or discoveries all the time just by running experiments. Sometimes you have to really dig in and understand what you're doing. So, you know, the question I get asked a lot is, you know, are your students going to go out into the world and design tractor beams or invisibility cloaks or advanced propulsion devices like Chris Jones just talked about? And the answer to that is maybe some will, but most will not. So why are we doing this? The real reason that we do this, and the reason we do research at A-State, is to enhance the educational experience of the students. So all of these students you see here are working on a funded grant, so they have full tuition paid for, they get a salary, and they get to work on these things. And while they're doing that, what they're learning is how to go research a topic, think critically about what people have done before them, and out of that critical thinking, develop a model for how things work, and then implement that model with some skills like writing computer code and some math and that sort of thing, and then to analyze the results. So in the end, it's not as much about, you know, we're designing a tractor beam or an invisibility cloak or a new material, as about the journey that gets them there and gives them that opportunity to come to school at A-State and to learn all those skills that are, some are soft skills, some are more STEM-related skills, so that they can take that with them as they go forward in their lives.
Very good. Let's continue talking to students. Can I get your name, please?
My name is Itikona Roy, and I'm the graduate student of Master of Science in Electrical Engineering, and I'm working as graduate research assistant in Dr. Kim's lab of electromagnetics.
Okay, very good. So kind of tell us about your part of the research and what you've been working on.
Okay, so I'm primarily working on designing photonic materials with binary and ternary non-touching equilibrium condition, So I'm primarily working on particles which can gain stable equilibrium condition when they are under only under applied static field and without any external field. So if this is possible, then I can work more on multiple particles to see how these particles arrange together, like Dr. Kim said, in a in another medium like water or oil, and see the dynamic properties of these particles so that these particles can be later used as optical filters or in optical frequency converters.
You're like what I asked Chris, kind of your takeaways, how have things been going with you in the research that you've been doing?
Okay, so I have started only on working with two particle cases, and I have more to work on multiple particle cases. And once I have done, I'll see that if this works can be extended on further on designing other materials like frequency converters or optical filters.
Okay, very good. And let me go ahead and get your name, if you don't mind, please, sir.
My name is Tamal Sarkar, and I just recently graduated from this lab. I have done my master's here in electrical engineering, so I have been working with Dr. Krem for past 2 years.
Very good. So tell us about your part in the research.
Okay, so I have started working with Dr. Krem from the preliminary idea that my previous lab mate has done, like, what is the electrostatic effects in different kinds of nanoparticles or microparticles without any applied field condition in a colloidal system. So I have started working with that, so calculated all the forces and how the material interacts with each other, the particle self-assembles in a colloidal system, and then I have started working with different types of particle, and I have started applying field with that, and we have found like micro manipulation of the particles so that we can design different kinds of lattice structure which are not like mechanically bonded, but maybe you can say it's electrostatically bonded. So after that, when we have done that and we have found we can find some stable lattice structures, or you can say area of particles that may be used as the building blocks for mesoscopic materials and all that stuff. And after that, we have also started applying different types of modelings to find what are the photonic effects, like what is the band gap structure of that material, and what would be the effects of when you shine light on it, and how it reacts to the system, actually.
Right. And how's it been going so far?
It has been going pretty well for me. So since I'm an international student, came here from almost the other part of the world, started working with Dr. Kemp and also Mr. Shepard. He has been helped me a lot throughout my journey. And I have been working for this stuff, and I have attended several conferences and also won a few paper awards that boosted my confidence to do the research more and more. And also I got an invited talk in a conference that was like a good achievement for me in this stage of my career. So that it helps me a lot to understand the basics of the electromagnetics and the material and of light-matter interaction among the systems, and how we can use this in our real life worlds. And I believe I can go further doing research on this kind of stuff, maybe more in application side, or maybe more in I can delve into more theoretical stuff in the future.
Very good. So you're listening to the Credit State podcast here on KASU. I want to talk about how it's been working with both Dr. Kemp and also with Cheyenne and Chris. I want to go back to you for a sec. Kind of your thoughts on working with them and how that has really impacted your life. I know you said that that the research is, you've been learning and learning, and that's obviously a fantastic thing. But how's it been working with them and also with these other outstanding students?
It's been a pleasure. So coming into this, it's a little bit overwhelming at first, and just having getting into the theoretical aspects, looking into those, it can be daunting, you know. Honestly, and they make it easy. They, you know, they're there when you need them to answer questions. If you have anything other than, you know, they're just always there to give you advice. It's one of those things where you can walk into the room one day, not know something. And then when you walk out that day, you might still not know every aspect of it, but you know more than when you left, and that's mm-hmm. or when you got there, and that's always a good thing.
Very good.
And your thoughts as well on Targar, on how things have been by way of working with both of them, and how they've impacted you.
Okay, so since I have done my bachelor's from a foreign country, so back in my bachelor degree, it was I have actually no idea of what a research can be called. So it was like a part of a training, how to do research, how to do things, and how to think critically, or question different types of stuff, so what is going on, and all that stuff. And I've been honored to work with these people, so that whenever I have any question or any queries, I can go to Dr. Kemp, and if he can answer almost all the stuff, or he can say okay, let me look into that and I'll get back to you. And also again, whenever I got in trouble with some kind of mathematics, so I went to Mr. Shepard, so he's like a mathematician in our lab, so that whenever you have a trouble in the mathematical stuff, you can go to him, and I bet you can have something out of it. So it has been a great journey for me for last 2 years as a research assistant or a part to be a research team here at the state.
Right. Advantage is having someone in engineering and also someone in mathematics to be able to help in some of those things. So let me ask you, Ati, if you don't mind, please.
Back in the honors life, when I was an honors student in my country in Bangladesh, electromagnetics was a difficult and tough subject for me to learn. But now in this lab, I'm learning so easily that everything I am working on, the theoretical part, Dr. Kemp and Mr. Shepard, makes everything easy, that I don't find it difficult that electromagnetics is actually difficult. It's being very easy for me nowadays. So I think after finishing my master's degree and after going from Dr. Kemp's lab, I can say that I have learned something in applied electromagnetics.
Very good. So let's talk to you, Cheyenne, about how's it been like working with the students? What have you learned from the students?
I've just learned about how each independent one of them focus on different aspects and where their little pitfalls are and how to adjust my own learnings to help accommodate what they need. That's one of the biggest things that I've learned myself working with them. So, for example, if I think back to a couple of them, there was some problems with how to code certain things into a program that we use called MATLAB. So I'd have to, you know, shift gears out of my analytical thinking and go into more of a simulation type thinking to be able to help resolve some of their problems. Second one would be, you know, some of the basic physics. So say reverting back to basic fields and waves to go through some of the problems, understanding how they understand it, and then bridging the gaps that they may not have seen before. So those are my own personal ways that I've had to bridge the gaps to help them and from my own perspective.
I know you've been really enjoying working with them on these projects.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a fantastic journey to see all of them, you know, moving down their own path.
And you've been listening to the Created State Podcast here on KASU. You can always subscribe to the Created State Podcast at the Created State Podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play, or you can listen on the NPR app. Also, you can find it at Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever you get your podcast. And please tell others about the Created State Podcast and leave us a review, as we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU.